Good morning. Good to see you all out here this morning. The only scripture I'll actually ask you to read will be 1 Corinthians 15, and that will be at the very end, so you've got some time to get there. But if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 15, that is where I will actually be reading from the Bible. The other verses I will be quoting. 1 Corinthians 15, I want us to read with our own eyes a couple of verses. Broke one of my cardinal rules the other day. One of those rules that we all claim to live by, but we never do. Broke one of those the other day. I made the mistake of giving unsolicited advice. Actually, it wasn't a mistake, but I gave unsolicited advice to somebody the other day, and it got me thinking about this lesson. But before I actually tell you the advice that I gave, and thought it would be wise to maybe spend a few moments thinking about unsolicited advice, both the giving of it and the receiving of it. You know, most people that give unsolicited advice truly are trying to be helpful. But by the same token, one of my favorite passages in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And what that verse is helping us to see is we don't always see ourselves clearly. We may think we're trying to give good advice, but unfortunately, sometimes the heart isn't all that clean. Sometimes we're giving advice because we want to show people how wise we are. And we enjoy seeing the difference. See, here's you, here's me. See the difference? Hopefully that doesn't apply to any of us, but for some people, sometimes that's the reason they give advice. I don't suggest we ever judge anybody who's giving us unsolicited advice that way. But if that is truly the reason, we may want to take a look at that. A lot of times when we give unsolicited advice, we're trying to be helpful, but a lot of times people seem to ignore our advice, or even worse than that, sometimes there's blowback. Sometimes people vent without really wanting a solution. We've all been in those situations before. As Job said, chapter 14, verse 1, man who's born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. And sometimes you're overwhelmed by the troubles of the day and you reach out to somebody and you're not really looking for a solution. You're just trying to vent. And sometimes as the listener, we might want to recognize that that's what's going on at the moment. This person isn't really asking for advice. They're just kind of unburdening themselves, and sometimes our burdens seem lighter when we share them with other people, even if we aren't looking for advice. And one of the definitions of a good friend, a lot of times when you ask somebody who points to their best friend, well, what do you like about him? One of the things that inevitably comes up is what a good listener they are. And listening is a great skill and a great quality, and your friends will recognize you for it. So there's some questions I like to ask myself if I'm thinking clearly, and I'm not always. But there's some questions I like to ask myself before I give unsolicited advice. Number one, if it's life-saving, or I should say, is it life-saving? If not, pause. But sometimes it might be life-saving. I'll give you an example of what happened to me. Spent the first 26 years of my life in Michigan, moved to Florida. About a month inside Florida state line, I was playing softball with the work crew one day, right field. Somebody hit a foul ball, and I couldn't get to it because it landed in a pond. Well, I'm looking at the foul ball, and it was too far to reach out and get it, but it wasn't that far away from the shore, so I started taking my shoes off. I was going to wade in and get it. There's a little kid standing there watching me. He said, "Hey, mister, what are you doing?" So I'm going to get my softball. He said, "I don't think you want to do that." And he points, and I look over, and I see those two beady little alligator eyes looking at me, just waiting for me to come into the water. Well, hey, that's unsolicited advice, but thank you very much. Kind of happy to get that advice. It's life-saving, potentially at least. And by the way, sometimes as Christians, we give soul-saving advice, and sometimes it's unsolicited. And it may be very well the number one reason why we are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Because we see the way somebody is living and we think, I'm not sure. I'm not the judge, but I have read what the judge has said. And after reading what the judge has said and what I know about you, you may want to take a look at some things. And that's a price we ought to be willing to pay. It's not always easy. And I'll give you another example. There's somebody in Florida, still hasn't talked to me since I got in the car with Nicole and moved across here. They have shut me out of their life. And the reason is because the last time we got together, I gave them unsolicited advice. You know what it was? You need to go to the Church of Christ. You need to walk in and you need to tell them my brother or my friend is a preacher for the Lord's church and he tells me that I need to be a member of this church and I don't understand what he means by that. Tell me why he said that. That's what I said to him. They haven't talked to me since. It was unsolicited, but I'm willing to pay the price for giving that advice because I thought it was that important. Sometimes the advice may be life-saving, it may be soul-saving. And that's a reason why I'm not, sometimes I'm willing to give unsolicited advice. But if it's not life-saving, if it's not soul-saving, be careful. Is it likely to hit a sore spot? Here's one piece of advice I try not to give. I try not to give parental advice to people who are not asking for it. That can be a sore subject with people if you're giving them advice when they haven't asked for it. It's kind of a minefield. We want to be careful. There's all kinds of situations in life where people aren't asking for advice. We give it anyways, and then we end up paying a price for it. Here's another question I like to ask myself. Is this the only way to do it, or are there other ways to do it? And sometimes it's a simple matter, but even simple matters can get annoying. For instance, I got a friend, I don't want him in my car anymore. You know why? Because he's always got a better way to get to everywhere we're going. Stop it! I know how to get out of my own neighborhood. I don't need directions on how to get out of my own neighborhood. There's 18 different ways to get to the location we're going. So what if I choose one, then you would have chosen another one. Ooh, we saved 30 seconds. Stop that. There's other ways to do some things in this world, and people do things in a way that's different than we would do them. You know what? One of the keys to happiness is letting people be people. Just sit back and watch the way they do it. Hey, you may learn something. But sometimes we give people unsolicited advice over things that they're doing fine the way they're doing it. It's just different than the way that I would do it. But you know, as the listener, we've all experienced unsolicited advice. And one of the key ideas for accepting unsolicited advice, I think, is the first words out of Jesus' mouth in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. It's a call to humility. And here's something that tends to happen. When people give us unsolicited advice that we were not asking for, we were not looking for, sometimes our defenses go up and we immediately shut down. We immediately don't want to hear it. We're immediately inside upset that you, why are you telling me this? But if you'll swallow your pride, a lot of times if you look at that advice, even though I wasn't asking for it, even though I didn't want it, that's pretty good advice. A lot of times, unsolicited advice is actually good advice. And it may be our egos that are putting up a wall that's stopping us from hearing people who are actually saying something that we maybe need to hear. There's another thing I ask myself from time to time is, how do I phrase it? You want to start a conversation with somebody when you're giving them unsolicited advice? If these are the first words out of your mouth, this may not go well. You need to. You ought to. If that's the way you're starting the sentence, it might not go as well as you'd hoped. You know what works better? My experience is, the very same thing happened to me one day. Here's how I handled it. Very same thing happened to me one day, and here's how I handled it, and it went well. Very same thing happened to me one day. Here's how I handled it, and it blew up in my face. You're not really giving advice at all. You're just sharing your own experience with the same thing, and you're leaving the person free to do as they would. Sometimes that goes over a whole lot better. But anyway, what was the unsolicited advice that I gave to my neighbor? Neighbor and I were talking, and he was telling me about last time he visited his dad. His dad is a very sick man. And he said he was glad that he stopped by to see his dad because all his dad wanted to do was pinch his cheek. And I said to him, I'm going to give you some unsolicited advice. I know you're not asking, but I'm going to give it to you anyways. Be careful how you treat your dad in his final days. Because when he's gone, you're going to have to live with how you treated him. If you treated him well, if you honored him like the Bible says, you're able to hold your head up high knowing that in his final days you gave him the very best effort you could give him. But if you don't, your own conscience will haunt you and there's not a thing you can do about it. You just have to live with the way you treated him. Well, he didn't ask for that advice, and I'm happy to say he took that advice well. But that was the advice I gave him, and the more I thought about it, the more I realized that's pretty much what Paul was saying to the Ephesian brothers in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 particularly, when he said, "See that then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." One of the problems is we've wasted enough time. Every one of us, if we're being honest with ourselves, we've wasted enough time. I can only speak for myself, but I can certainly speak for myself. Spent 10 years. One of the songs I thought about asking Jim to sing, I think it's At Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, knowing not my Lord was crucified. And you can throw in the other song, Love Lifted Me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Lived that way from the time I graduated high school till I came to the Lord. Nothing I can do about it now. It is what it is. It's the way I lived. But you know what? I start school in August of 1993, and my first day teacher, first day at school, my afternoon teacher was a man named Gene Brigette. He ended up being my best friend. And one of the reasons he became my best friend was because of the way he treated me. But he was my age. I barely know John 3:16 at that point of my Christian walk. I'm in over my head. What am I doing at school? I just became a Christian a few months ago, and here I am at Florida School of Preaching, thinking about being a preacher. What am I doing here? This guy's the exact same age as me, but he graduated high school, went to college, graduated college, went to the Florida School of Preaching, started preaching and teaching ever since, and he's already, at the age of 33, a teacher in the school. I noticed how the superiors and the elders of the church treated him and how they treated me. Oh, wait a minute, we're the same age. Yeah, Mike. But he was all about the Lord's business for the last decade, and you weren't. We love you. We're glad we're here. We'll support you in any way we can, but guess what? When we have a question, we're not going to be asking you. We're going to be asking your best friend. And that's just the way it is. Because I had spent so much time wasted. And by the way, wasted on myself. A lot of us have lived lives like that. Spent a lot of time, but we spent it wasted on ourselves. So we've got to realize that we've already wasted enough time. And we need to remember that that we're in good company. Because the Apostle Paul did the same thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'll read one of the only two verses that I wanted to read. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 says, as Paul is talking about all that had seen Jesus Christ after the resurrection, in verse 9 he says, last of all he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Paul looked at that time as him wasting time when he could have been serving the Lord. So we've already wasted enough time. And remember that the remaining time is evil as well. The days are evil. One of the nice touches at the Sarasota, or the Midway Church of Christ in Sarasota, Florida, one of the nice touches on their building is as you walk into the auditorium at the Midway Church of Christ in Sarasota, it says above the auditorium doors, "Enter here to worship." I thought that was a nice touch. You know what I thought it should have said on the inside as you're going back out? Warning. You're about to enter the world. Satan's domain. You're about to take everything you've just learned and now it's time to apply it. You're going out into the world where Satan is the god of this present age. And so you need to walk circumspectly as you get back out in the world because the days are evil. They are contaminated by sin. All that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And anyone that loves it, John said, the love of the Father is not in him. And that's the world that we live in. So we need to recognize that we've wasted enough time and that even the remaining time has us walking in days that are evil and the temptation to lose our focus is all around us. So we need to redeem the time. First of all, how do we do that? Well, for starters, how about seeing the world for what it really is? It's hard to do sometimes. Just see the world for what it truly is. And it truly is vanity of vanities. All is vanity. And sin is indeed pleasurable. It's one of the reasons we lose our focus and what's so dangerous about the world that we live in. I love the description of Moses by the Hebrew writer, chapter 11, verse 25. Moses chose to suffer affliction with God's people rather than enjoying the passing pleasures of sin. He recognized that sin is pleasurable, but it also passes. There's an end to the pleasure. You know, it reminds me of addiction. Solomon's description of addiction in Proverbs chapter 23 is incredible. You know how it ends? After describing all the horrors that come on the man who's given to wine and strong drink, it says, when shall I arise that I may seek another drink? You ask somebody with an addiction problem, you know what he'll tell you? Amaze enough. Well, one's too many. And 1,000's not enough. Because that addiction just keeps giving you pleasure that's elusive and passes away so quickly, and you chase that elusive pleasure that you get for only a short period of time, and then it's gone, and then you chase it some more, and chase it some more, and chase it some more. And it's forever addicting, always feeding. And that's the world that we live in. And we have to be careful. So we need to see the world as it truly is. And usually it is spending time serving ourselves. You know, I want to thank Larry Webster. Gave me a big hand yesterday. We moved just about everything we could move that didn't require a trailer. So now we're down to trailer stuff. And then Nick and I will be moved next week. But Larry helped me quite a bit. But he was just as pleasurable as he could be. Oh, Mike, glad to help you, glad to help you. But you know what? In a way, I'm glad to ask for his help. You know why? Because here's one thing I know. Every time we do a Christian duty or a good deed for somebody else, if we weren't doing it, here's a question I ask you. What would I be doing? A lot of times you're actually helping me by occupying me with something good because if you left me to my own devices, I might spend the time on myself. And then it would be true, that famous quote that I heard one day, what we do for ourselves dies with us, but what we do for others and the world remains and is immortal. We spend so much time serving ourselves and in the end we get nothing for it that lasts. And that's the world that we live in. And we need to see the world for what it is. which is why Moses in Psalm 90 told us to learn how to number our days. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger, God? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We need to appreciate that precious commodity we call time. What a precious commodity it is. This lesson by nature should be brief, since I'm taking from you the very thing I'm asking you to hold dear. However, there is a caveat to that. This is a pretty good way to spend your time. Worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. Real good way to spend your time. You know, a passage always jumps out at me. One of those New Testament passages I love so much. Paul in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, one of the things I've noticed about Bible classes over the years is sometimes we take on questions that I really can't answer for you. There are some subjects in the Bible that the best answer is you need to study the scriptures, you need to gain as much wisdom as you can, because there are moments in your life when you're all by yourself. There's nobody here to guide you. How are you going to handle this moment? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Not everything in life is between you, the church, you, anybody else. Sometimes it's just you and the Lord. How are you handling this moment? One of the things I had to take a good long look at when I became a Christian, how I entertained myself. There was some TV shows and some movies and some books, some songs and some music that had to go. I had one of those moments the other day, pulled into the Save Mart, pulling the car into the parking spot, and just as I did, a song from on the oldie station came out. Woo-hoo. Oh, I remember that song. It was great, man. About 30 minutes of music before the lyrics actually started. Or 30 seconds, I should say. Yeah, 30 minutes. About 30 seconds of music before the lyrics started. I was going. And then the lyrics started. And I remembered what a pathetic song that is. Glorifying the world. Glorifying intimacy that's supposed to be shared between a husband and a wife. And I got through the first verse and I thought to myself, catchy as the beat is, I can't ever listen to that song again. There are some things we got to learn to throw out in our Christian life. But you know what? There's some things I learned when I was in the world I still hang on to. Here's another song I hear all the time. I still love it. The song's called Time by Pink Floyd. You ever listen to the lyrics of that song? Let me quote a few. Ticking away the moments that make up a dull day. Fritter and waste the hours in an offhand way. Kicking around on a piece of ground in your hometown. Waiting for someone or something to show you the way. Tired of lying in the sunshine, staying home to watch the rain. You are young and life is long and there is time to kill today. And then one day you find 10 years have got behind you. No one told you when to run. You missed the starting gun. There's a reason we have a phrase called aimless wanderer. There are some people, particularly young people, that have no direction. And they just wake up one day and half their life's in the rearview mirror. They don't even realize it. And I love the chorus to the song too. And you run and you run to catch up with the sun, but it's sinking, racing around to come up behind you again. The sun is the same in a relative way, but you're older, shorter of breath, and one day closer to death. You know what I like about that song? I have no idea if the authors were spiritually minded at all, but you know what I know? They recognized this world really is vain. Here today, gone tomorrow. Tick, tick, tick. Time's ticking away. How you handling it? Do you realize how precious time really is? Do the math. I did the math for this lesson. I don't have that many worship services left, even if I get to live a long life. Because time is ticking away, and we need to number our days. Another thing we want to think about. Need to live your life one day at a time. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. Question, are you really here? Are you here? I know your body is. Are you here? Are you waiting for those magic words? You know what those magic words are on Sunday morning? So in conclusion, woohoo! They got a steak at Sizzler with my name on. We need to beat the Baptists. Yeah, amen. Thank you. By the way, I don't take that stuff personally. Never do I take it personally. I understand that struggle. But why do I bring it up? Because you can never grow nor actually communicate with God anywhere but in the present. You can look back on your life and remember times when you experienced the presence of God or where you grew. You can look confidently to the future of it happening again. But if you actually want to experience the presence of God in your life, it's done always in the now. Right here. Right now. If you really want to grow in life, one of the keys is plugging in wherever you're at. Even if the speech you're hearing is useless, learn from why it's useless so you'll be better. But you'll never get any better in life if you don't plug in. Listening is hard. It is. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever do. But it's also one of the greatest blessings you'll ever give yourself. It's to live your life one day at a time, one moment at a time, being present wherever you are. Drinking all of life in because it is brief. Experience it. Don't have somebody else tell you what happened when you were in the same room. Experience it yourself. Live life one day at a time. And if we do some of these things, hopefully we can avoid regret. It's a great passage in the book of Malachi, last book in the Old Testament. Let me read it and I'll apply it for us. Malachi says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am father, where is my honor? God's speaking firsthand here. And if I am master, where's my reverence, says the Lord of hosts? To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? God answers that. You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the temple of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? When you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? What's he saying in the book of Malachi? When a priest offered a sacrifice, it was supposed to be 1 year old, perfect, without blemish. But what were these people offering? They were looking out in the flock and taking the worst one of the bunch. Ooh, this one looks like he's about ready to die. This one's useless. Here you go. Oh, you say, well, we don't live under the Old Testament. No, but the principle's the same. Principle's the same. Very early on in my Christian walk, before the school of preaching even started, Sunday evening, I watched a man with white hair respond to the gospel message on Sunday evening. Well, I was new. I thought we were supposed to rejoice when one sheep came home. Well, there was a certain amount of rejoicing. But there was a certain amount of sadness, too. And I picked up on the sadness, but I didn't know why. You know why? Come to find out later. That man abandoned his wife and kids for sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Did it for about 20 years. When he came home, he was coming home in front of his family. That he left. They were hurt. A lot of sadness in the air. I didn't even know who the man was. Lo and behold, he's in the first class at the Florida School of Preaching. All right, guys here, how about that? Teacher decides to start with an introduction. Let's all get to know each other. He starts with this guy first. Teacher at the Florida School of Preaching standing next to this guy. He gets out of his seat and he says his name. And he says, I graduated the same year as this guy. This is what happens when you stay faithful. This is what happens when you don't. And he sits down, regretting the last 20 years of his life because he spent it in vanity and pride. Lord, I'm going to spend the best years of my life on myself. When I'm old, full of blemishes, you can have that. No. Jeremiah said, it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. And one of the reasons is so that when you get to be an old man, if you get to be an old man and you find out just how truly brief life is, you don't look back with regret. And you'll understand the words of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 when he said, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those that love his appearing. There's Paul at the end of his life. No regrets. I served the Lord diligently the moment I realized he was the Lord. And now I have no regrets. One last thing, we'll call it a lesson. We focused a little bit on Revelation 21 and 22 last week. Do you take the time in your personal life to think about heaven? Do you ever read chapters 21 and 22 of the book of Revelation just anticipating it? I was a pretty good basketball player in my day. You know one of the reasons why I was a pretty good basketball player? Because of all the time I spent down at Moorish Elementary, about a mile away from my house, down there all by myself, playing at night. 5, 4, 3, 2, Ellen shoots. It's in, we win. How many times I did that? Yeah, you know why I did that? Because in the middle of July at 10 o'clock at night, I'm thinking about December next year when the whole crowd's going to be there. And I'm at the free throw line. I was thinking about that last summer. I wasn't thinking about that the day I got there. If that's the earliest you think about it, you're going to miss. I was thinking about it last July. Are you thinking about standing in front of the Lord? Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys that have been prepared for you. Or is that something you're going to take up when you're standing there? Redeem the time. Count the days. They are precious. Let me read 1 Corinthians 5, or 15, 9 and 10, and we're done. For I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. What's that mean? He accepts his past. It is what it is. I can't change it. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. What's he saying there? As soon as I came to my senses, I redeemed the time. But it was never me in the first place. It's always been the God of grace that works in me. I just gave myself to him. But I gave myself to him, and I have no regrets. How about you? He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And by the way, I picked on old people there a while. You realize you'll never be any younger than you are right now. That's it. It's as young as you'll ever be again. Are you going to give the Lord the rest of your days? He that believes and is baptized shall be added to the Lord's church where all the saved are. You need to respond to the call of the gospel. Why don't you come forward as we sing the song of invitation.